This is Radio Hangar. I'm Pattern, and today we're going to talk about the part of the cross country nobody teaches you until you're already behind the airplane. The descent, not the landing, not the pattern, the descent. That long, quiet slide from cruise altitude down to pattern altitude at a field you've never seen before. Most of us plan the takeoff, we plan the route, we plan the fuel. And then we get to the destination, and we just sort of point the nose down when the airport shows up on the screen, and hope it works out. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The descent is a planned event. It has a number. And that number starts before you ever leave cruise. Let's walk through this together. Before we get into it, a quick word about the folks who help keep this show on the air. Shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones that cost you sweat and money and a few gray hairs. AviationSoul.com. Go take a look. Okay, the descent. Here's the problem we're solving. You're cruising along at, let's say, 7,500 feet. Your destination airport sits at an elevation of 500 feet. And pattern altitude there is 1,500 feet above the ground, so 2,000 feet indicated. That means you need to lose 5,500 feet of altitude before you enter the pattern. The question is, when do you start down? Start too late. And you're diving at the airport, engine pulled back to idle, airspeed creeping up toward the yellow arc, ears popping, trying to slow down and descend, and set up for the pattern all at the same time. You're behind the airplane, and a pilot who's behind the airplane makes mistakes. Start too early, and you're droning along low for 20 miles, burning extra fuel, bouncing around in the warmer, bumpier air down low, maybe scraping under a shelf of airspace you didn't need to be under. Neither one is where we want to be. We want a calm, stabilized, planned descent. So let's build one. The tool is something called the top of descent point. Airline pilots call it the TOD. Their flight computers calculate it down to the tenth of a mile. You don't have a flight computer. You have something better. You have a piece of mental math you can do in about 3 seconds. Here it is. Take the altitude you need to lose in thousands of feet and multiply by 3. That gives you the distance in nautical miles that you need to begin your descent before the airport. Let's do our example. We need to lose 5,500 feet, call it 5,500. 5.5 × 3 is a little over 16, so we start our descent about 16.5 nautical miles out from the field. Why 3? Where does that number come from? It's not magic, it's the math behind a 3-degree descent path. 3 degrees is a nice, gentle, comfortable slope. It's roughly what an instrument glide path gives you. It's easy on the ears, easy on the passengers, and it keeps your airspeed under control without you having to yank the power to idle. A 3× your altitude rule produces very close to a 3-degree path. That's the whole trick. Now here's the part that makes it actually work in the airplane, and this is the piece most students miss. That rule tells you where to start. It doesn't tell you how fast to come down, for that we need a second number, and it depends on your ground speed. Let's walk through it. To hold a 3-degree path, your descent rate in feet per minute is roughly your ground speed times 5. If you're doing 120 knots over the ground, 120 times 5 is 600, so you're looking for about a 600 foot per minute descent. That's it. Set up 500 to 600 feet per minute, and you'll ride that slope right down to the pattern. Notice I said ground speed, not airspeed. This matters. If you've got a fat tailwind pushing you toward the field, your ground speed is higher, which means the ground is coming at you faster, which means you need to either start down earlier or come down faster. A tailwind on descent is a sneaky thing. It shortens the time you have. Keep an eye on that ground speed readout. Let me give you a real scenario. You're flying a Cessna 172 on a cross-country from your home field to an airport about 80 miles away. You've been cruising at 6,500 feet, enjoying the smooth air. Destination field elevation is around 1,000 feet, so pattern altitude is 2,000 feet indicated. You need to shed about 4,500 feet 4.5 × 3. That's 13.5 miles out. So when your GPS ticks down to about 14 miles from the field, you're going to bring the power back, gently, just a couple hundred RPM, and start down at 500 feet per minute. And here's the beautiful part, because you planned it, you're not touching anything abruptly. The airplane stays trimmed, the passengers stay comfortable, your airspeed stays right where you want it. You arrive at pattern altitude, a few miles out, already slowed down, already set up, with time to look at the windsock. Listen to the traffic and think, you're ahead of the airplane. That's the whole game. Now let me add a couple of real-world wrinkles, because it's never quite as clean as the textbook. First wrinkle, airspace and terrain. Sometimes you can't fly the perfect 3-degree slot. Maybe there's a shelf of Class Charlie or Class Bravo airspace you need to stay under, so you have to get down early and level off. Maybe there's rising terrain or an obstacle. Maybe the airport's in a valley. The 3x rule gives you your ideal starting point, but you're still the pilot in command. If you need to start down sooner to stay clear of airspace, do it. The rule is a tool, not a cage. Second wrinkle, getting the weather and the pattern before you start down. This is where your descent planning ties into everything else. Before you begin that descent, you want the current conditions at the field. Listen to the ATIS if the field has one. If it doesn't, tune the automated weather, the AWOS or the ASOS. Get the altimeter setting. Get the wind, figure out which runway you're going to use, and which way the pattern turns. Do all of that while you're still up high, still in the smooth air, still with time to think. Because once you start down and get busy, you don't want to be fumbling for a frequency. Here's a little sequence I teach. Call it the 3-part descent checklist. Weather, altitude, airplane. Weather, get the ATIS or the automated broadcast and set your altimeter. Altitude, know your top of descent number and know your target field elevation and pattern altitude. Airplane, as you come down, keep an eye on that airspeed. Don't let it run away from you and keep the engine happy. If you've been up high on a cool day, feed in a little throttle now and then on the way down so you're not shock cooling the cylinders with a long idle descent. Small power reductions, gentle and gradual. Let me say a word about the airspeed trap, because it catches good pilots. When you push the nose over to descend, the airplane speeds up. That's just physics. If you don't pull a little power out, you'll find yourself accelerating toward the top of the green arc, maybe nosing into the yellow. Now you're going fast, you're descending, and the airport is getting close. Everything's happening quicker than you'd like. That's the behind the airplane feeling again. The fix is to trade a little of that energy on purpose. When you start down, ease the throttle back a couple hundred RPM. Let the airplane descend without gaining a bunch of speed. You want the descent to feel boring. Boring is good. Boring means you planned it. Now, does the examiner care about any of this? On a private or commercial check ride, the airman certification standards don't hand you a task called top of descent math. But go read the cross-country planning tasks and the task on maintaining a stabilized approach. The whole spirit of the ACS is about being ahead of the airplane, managing your energy, and arriving at the pattern in a state where you can fly a safe, stabilized approach. A pilot who comes screaming into an unfamiliar field at cruise speed, diving to get down, is not demonstrating the risk management the examiner is looking for. A pilot who starts down at a planned point, briefs the weather up high and slides into the pattern already configured and calm, that pilot is showing exactly what a good aeronautical decision maker looks like. The examiner is looking for that mindset a lot more than any single number. So let's bring it home with the takeaways you can use on your very next flight. 1. Your descent has a starting point, and it's a number, not a guess. Altitude to lose, in thousands times 3. That's your miles out. 2. Your descent rate is roughly ground speed times 5. Watch ground speed, not airspeed, because the wind is voting too. 3. Get the weather and the pattern plan while you're still up high and it's still quiet. 4. Pull a little power when you start down, so airspeed doesn't run away from you. Make it boring. Do those 4 things, and that unfamiliar destination stops being a scramble and starts being the calmest part of your flight. Learning to fly is hard. It's expensive. Nobody's going to tell you otherwise. And I won't insult you by pretending the descent is the easy part. But this piece, the top of descent, is one of those rare places where a little bit of arithmetic buys you a whole lot of calm. And calm is what keeps you safe. The descent math and the stabilized approach standards I mentioned come straight out of the FAA's Airman Certification Standards and the Airplane Flying Handbook, if you want to read the source for yourself. You can find us at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern. Go fly, plan that descent before you leave cruise, and I'll see you back in the pattern next time.